you keep milk from souring?
Leave it in the cow.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is a miser?
A man who eats mice.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. The zaniest of quiz shows, rebroadcast for the American Armed Forces and their allies, and featuring Al Trace's orchestra, Lula McConnell, Harry McNaughton, George Sheldon, and the man who knows it pays to be ignorant, Tom Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here it is, that menace to education again, with a board of experts who think books are used to put under broken legs of bureaus. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Dive in an Empty Swimming Pool Without Losing Your Teeth. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Howard. Hi, little dumpling, my son John went to bed with his britches on, one shoe off and one shoe on. Boy, was he plastered. Do you know that he put his umbrella in the bed and stood up in the sink all night?
All right.
Demoralizing.
I see. Next, we have a woman who from the back looks like a taxi cab with both doors open. A woman who was so fat she had to mump for 2 weeks before she knew it. Here she is, the pin-up girl of the hobo camp, Miss Lula McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I met a very old friend of mine last week.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen her all for 10 years.
All right.
Mrs. Donaldson. You didn't know her, did you?
No, I didn't know her.
Well, a funny thing, I'd only been talking to her about a minute when she got very angry at me, and for nothing.
Well, what did you say to her?
I just asked her how her husband was standing the heat.
Well, that's nothing to get angry about.
Certainly not. How did I know her husband had been dead 5 years?
I thought that... Our third and last expert, a man who, when he was in the third grade of school, his teacher used to send him home for not shaving. A man who was always changing his mind, but he never seems to get a better one. Here he is, confusion on legs, Mr. George Shelton.
Say, Mr. Howard, you'll never guess who I met on Broadway today.
I'll never guess because I'm not going to try.
Oh, but this will surprise you. Go ahead and guess.
I don't want to guess.
Oh, go ahead, just make one guess.
I tell you, I don't want to play any guessing game.
So you won't guess who it was, huh?
No.
See, I wish you would, because I don't know who it was.
Get off.
Oh, my word.
What is that? Well, there they are, folks. From now on, this program takes a turn for the worse.
All right, a quarry.
You got a head of, like, stone. No wonder you're in a quarry. Our first question tonight comes from a Miss Mary Ann Gutman of Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Howard. Mary Ann isn't in North Carolina. Oh. You're thinking of Charlotte, her sister.
Her sister.
Certainly, that's right.
Yeah, lovely girl, Charlotte, but she puts too much rouge on her face.
Oh, a regular Charlotte Rouge.
Charlotte Rouge.
I don't get it.
I don't. Please, will you cut it out? You're starting early tonight, you guys. I haven't got to the first question yet.
What was the question?
All right, here it is. Pay attention. What office does a presidential candidate seek?
You mean he's looking for an office? How much rent does he want to pay? I got a friend of mine who's got an office. He'll rent him half of it.
Well, you know, it's awfully hard to get office space these days. I mean, things are so crowded.
Yeah.
Now, you take the buses. The buses are so crowded, even the men are standing.
Even the men.
You said it. Why, I was in Washington the other day, and boy, is that town crowded.
Wonder why Washington is so crowded.
It must be because there are so many people there.
No. You know, I think you're right, Mr. McNaughton.
Thank you.
Maybe just a coincidence, but I've noticed that whenever a lot of people get on a subway train, it's always crowded.
Isn't that true?
Hey, it's the truth.
Yeah.
I know when I get into a subway train, it's always crowded.
Yeah. Mr. Connell, if the train was empty when you got on, it would be crowded. Let's get on now with a question. Let's get back to it. What office does the presidential candidate seek? Do any of you know anything about politics?
Oh, politics. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I think they're making our congressmen work much too hard, Mr. Howard. They need more rest.
What makes you think so?
Well, when a man has to make a speech lying down, I'd say he needs a rest.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Where do you get the idea that they make speeches lying down?
Oh, I read it in the paper, old boy. I read it myself. It said Congressman so-and-so made a brilliant speech from the floor of the House.
From the floor of the House.
I heard it.
Miss McNaughton, if your face had a more intelligent expression, I'd think you were kidding.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Mr. McNaughton is a college man.
Okay.
Why, he was the head of his fraternity.
I know, a frat head. I know that. That's all.
Oh, is that so? Is that so? I'll have you know someday I may be president.
Yeah.
Don't be silly.
Question was sent in by a Mr. William Fogelson of Brompton, New Jersey. Here is his question. Is General MacArthur a captain, lieutenant, or a major? In other words, what rank does he hold?
What is rank?
Well, there are two answers to that.
Well, give me the one that ain't an insult.
Right. Well, let me tell you, rank designates a man's standing or class.
What rank were you in at school, Mr. Shelton?
Wait a minute. You don't use it that way.
Oh. I never went to school. I started right in college.
I see.
Why bother with the middleman?
Why bother with the middleman?
Hey, Mr. McConnell, tell me, what did you take up at school?
Space, Mr. McConnell. Well, it's not about school. It's about General MacArthur. What rank does he hold?
You know, I think General MacArthur has a lot of class.
Well, what is his class? That's what we're trying to find out.
We're trying to find out his rank.
Well, didn't you say class and rank meant the same thing?
And not the way Miss McConnell was using the word. She was using the vernacular.
Yes. She was using what?
The vernacular.
I was not. We hadn't got one of those things in our house.
I
had to sweep the floor with a broom.
You had to... Please, listen, you cylinder head. The real definition of class is rank.
Well, would you say the orchestra here has a lot of class? Would that mean that they were good?
Using slang, yes. But in reality, it means rank.
Don't you see, Mr. Shelton? Here in the studio, the orchestra's good, but in the alley, they're rank.
Oh. They're rank any place. Let's get on there. Let's get back to the question. What does General MacArthur hold? That is, what rank does he hold?
What are the different ranks in the Army, Mr. Howard?
Well, there's a general, a colonel, a major, a captain, first lieutenant, second lieutenant, sergeant, corporal, and private. Private is the lowest.
That's funny. A private told me there was nothing lower than a sergeant.
Don't change horses in the middle of the street. the middle of the street. If you want to keep your britches dry, don't chill, sweetie, in the middle of the dream. Middle of the dream, middle of the dream. Don't chill, sweetie, in the middle of the dream, or you're gonna be a sorry guy. My wise old Pappy done told me, don't ever change your bet. You know what you got, where you got it, but you don't know what you're gonna get. Hey! In the middle of the street, middle of the street, middle of the street. Don't change horses in the middle of the street if you want to keep your britches dry.
Hey, gang, that's fun. Let's all join in and sing this tune. Everybody, here we go. All together now.
Don't change horses in the middle of the street.
Bunch must have taken music lessons in a night school during a blackout, it is. Don't know what this is going to wind up in.
Thank you.
you had told me last week that this orchestra would get worse, I wouldn't have believed them, huh?
What are you talking about? That's a swell orchestra.
Yeah.
And all those guys are nice to boot.
Yeah. Well, remind me to boot them sometime. Well, this is where we ask the studio audience to help us out, ladies and gentlemen. We have invited two members of the audience up here on the stage. They can ask the experts a question. If they get the intelligent answer, we give them one day's turnover of the Federal Reserve Bank. If they don't, we see that they don't leave us empty-handed. Who was our first guest, Mr. Roberts?
Our first guest tonight, Mr. Howard, is Private First Class Raymond Westfall of the United States Army.
Good evening, Private Westfall. We're very happy to have you with us. How do you feel, Private?
A little bit nervous.
Oh, well, don't be nervous in the service, sir. Well, we're very glad to have you with us. Where is your hometown, would you care to tell us?
It's Seattle, Washington.
Oh, way from Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, Washington. Well, wrinkle my head and call me the brow.
I call you.
I used to work in that town.
No, why don't you stop?
No, no kidding. I was a sergeant in a dentist's office.
You were a sergeant in a dentist's office?
No, I used to drill teeth.
You
used to
drill teeth.
I imagine that would get very boring.
Yeah, it would get painful. Pay no attention to them, Sergeant. They're in their second childhood, I might add. What are you doing in New York? On a furlough or something?
No, sir. I'm stationed here.
Oh, you're stationed here. How do you like New York?
Well, it's a nice big city, but I'd rather be back in Seattle.
Well, I suppose
you
would.
Hey, Private, I was in the last war, you know. I was in the parachute division, yes. Well, do I remember my first jump. The captain said to me, when you jump, but count 10 and then pull the string, you see? So I jumped, counted 10 and pulled the string.
What happened?
My pajamas fell off.
Please cut out the horseplay.
Oh, very embarrassing, old boy. I mean, swinging up there in the air without pajamas.
Yeah.
Awfully drafty, you know, around the early dawn.
Around the early dawn. Tell me, please. I hope they're not tying you out here, Sergeant. What did you do before you went into service?
Worked in the post office.
Oh, in the post office. The man of letters, I see. Well, we're mighty glad.
I used to play post office.
I know. All right. We're mighty glad to have you with us, I'm sure.
What's your first name, honey?
Raymond.
What?
Ray.
Raymond.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
You're a cute kid, too. You sure are. Well, I tell you, you can just call me Evening Star. I come out at night.
So does your teeth. Not at night. With your face, you should stay in. Will you reach into the dust cap there, Sergeant, and pick a question for us? And would you be kind enough to read the question, please? Just read it right into the microphone, if you will.
After what day in the week is the Saturday Evening Post named?
After what day in the week is the Saturday Evening Post named?
Oh, I say my word, you know, that's a very, very interesting question.
Yes, I'm glad you like it.
Oh, indeed, I like it very much. We must get together sometime and discuss it over a cup of tea.
Now, never mind, we'll discuss it right now. After what day in the week is the Saturday Evening Post named? It's a very simple question with a very simple answer.
Columbus Day.
Columbus. Why Columbus Day?
Well, that's the simplest answer I can think of.
I see. Miss McCowell, I've seen better heads than yours on rusty nails. What is that about Columbus Day? It's about a magazine.
Oh, you know, I used to write for magazines.
You did?
They never sent me any, though.
They never sent you. The magazine I'm talking about was founded by Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, who lost it?
Who?
What? The magazine Benjamin Franklin found.
I didn't say he found.
You certainly did. I heard you. I got ears.
Well, give them back to the jackass. You get them all dead. I said found it.
Well, where did he found it?
I founded a magazine once, on the subway.
Look, I'm talking about the Saturday Evening Post.
I didn't find it near a post. It was on a seat.
I said Saturday.
Oh, no, it wasn't Saturday. It was on a Friday.
Right.
I remember we had fish for dinner.
Fish for dinner.
Had broiled snapper.
All right. Too bad the bones didn't stick in your throat. Mr. McNaughton, if they ever award stripes for stupidity, you're going to look like a zebra.
Oh, I saw a zebra up at the zoo yesterday.
Oh, you were at the zoo yesterday?
Yeah.
So was I.
You were? What cage were you in?
I was in the pool with a sea lion.
Yeah.
It was cooler there.
Oh, is that you? You had a raw fish in your mouth.
Yeah. Tasty, too.
Tasty, too.
What were you doing up at the zoo?
Well, I went up to take pictures of the animals. But instead, the animals took pictures of me.
Mr. Shelton, animals don't carry cameras.
Well, I saw a bear with a little brownie.
Little brownie.
Luella!
Where'd you get that pillow?
Gal in town, Luella Brown, she gets around. Why, every night she has a different guy. As she walks by, the girls all cry. Hey, Luella, where'd you get that fella?
Woo!
What a lucky girl you are, Luella. Cinderella would envy you, Luella, if she ever saw you with your fella. I know he weighs a ton. I know his feet are flat. But after all, in times like these, a girl gets used to that. Hey, Luella, where'd you get that fella? Tell me where you got him, Luella.
Our next guest, Mr. Howard, is Specialist X, third class, Scotty Hanna of the Wave.
Well. I want to thank you for coming up here. It was real nice of you to come up here and face these bunch of nitwits. Where's your hometown, Miss Hanna? Would you care to tell us?
Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles, California. Well, my or my. That's quite a ways from home you are, Miss Hanna.
Miss Hannah's a wave, isn't she, Mr. Hart?
That's right, Mr. McNaughton. She's a wave.
Very nice wave, too.
Fine. Mr. McNaughton, you're out of order.
Am I?
Reminds me of my girl. I went to see her last night. We were sitting on the porch, not saying a word, and then she said to me, Georgie, I'll give you a kiss for your thoughts. And you know what happened?
No, what happened?
I wasn't thinking of a darn thing.
Strong, Rena. I get caught that way very often.
All right. Don't let them annoy you, Miss Hanna. Are you just visiting here in New York?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you something. Are you married?
No.
You're not married.
You just wait till the right man comes along.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah. How do you know he was the right man?
I told him.
You told him. Don't pay any attention to me. You look very cute there in your uniform.
Yes, sir, she certainly does. How do you like my dress, honey? This is my favorite dress. You know, I practically live in this outfit.
Yeah? Looks like you're taking rumors, too. Pick out a question for us. Pick out any question you get a hold of. And would you read the question, please?
What is the difference between an optimist and a pessimist?
What's the difference?
That's what I say. What's the difference?
Oh, wait a minute. I was just repeating the question. What is the difference between an optimist and a pessimist?
I got a brother who's a dentist. He's a pessimist.
He is?
Yeah, he always looks down in the mouth.
He are. Please, let's answer this. What is the difference between an optimist and a pessimist?
Well, that reminds me, old chap. I have to see my optimist about my eyes.
You're talking about inoculus, an eye doctor.
Oh, no, Mr. Howard. Oh, no. Inoculus is one of those things with a lot of legs.
No. That's octopus. A big clumsy-looking thing with a big, thick body.
Now we're...
Don't say it, Mr. I know what you were going to say.
Yeah?
Don't you call me an octopus.
Look, I'm trying to find out the difference between an optimist and a... Mr. Sheldon, did you ever go to school?
Once I did.
Well, I bet you were at the end of your class.
So what... you learn the both same thing at both ends.
Oh, well, that's fine. Will you fellas please take an afternoon off someday next week and learn something new for a change? Well, this is about the place we have our crackpot question, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here is the crackpot question. It was sent in by Mr. Amos Woods of Wheeling, West Virginia. You are to name this famous American actress. She was born in Philadelphia of a famous theatrical family. She has a brother named Lionel Barrymore. Her first name is Ethel. You have seen her name in bright lights on Broadway. She rose quickly to fame. What's her name?
Broadway Rose.
Broadway. That is wrong, I might tell you, Mr. Sheldon.
Well, you did tell me.
All right. Every week has been wrong, you crackpot.
All right, I can't help it. I'm worried, that's all.
You're worried? What are you worried about?
Worried about a lot of things. I went home the other night to take a bath.
Yeah?
And I found a horse in the bathtub.
Wait a minute, though. What did you do? In your bathtub?
Yeah,
Let me ask him, Mr. McNaughton, will you?
With pleasure.
Yeah. What did you do, Mr. Sheldon? I'm anxious to know.
Well, when I saw the horse in the bathtub...
You pulled the plug out. Oh, cut it out. That is wrong. But that is wrong.
$10
for what they
charge
at
40
cents.
That's a joke.
All right. You can have it. Because it pays to be ignorant.
To be ignorant. To be dumb. To be dense. To be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
Well, there you are, folks. It's time to say goodnight for Ernest Norton, Lulu McConnell, George Sheldon, Al Trace, and his bank.
When I was just a school kid, I wasn't awfully bright. I had a pretty teacher who made me stay in each night. So you see it pays.
Tom Howard saying good night and good nonsense.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.